Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I should imagine that over 2,000 years ago, on this particular day at that time, that would be the last thing that the followers of Jesus would be saying. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But they didn't know what we know. And so we know that we can rejoice in this day. So welcome to this Good Friday service of worship and meditation. And so we start our service as we stand and sing to the glory of God. The hymn 178, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded.
Please join me in the responsive reading. I'll do the L and you do the C. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things.
I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chosen me to serve, but he has not given me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter.
I will give you thanks, for you have sent me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Lord, without end and without.
Please join me now in the responsive prayer of confession. Let us pray. Lord, we would remember the price you paid.
Forgive us if we have forgotten Calvary.
You experienced the pain of the nails as they pierced your flesh, and you tasted a slow, lingering death.
Forgive us, Lord, when we forget the full extent of the suffering you endured for us. For you were mortal, you knew pain, and you did not want to die that death.
Who was it that hung our Savior on the cross? We have named the guilty, and say they are Judas, Pilate, and the high priests.
But Lord, we acknowledge that we too are guilty.
Of the sins of Judas.
We have betrayed you when we denied the people around us, human beings with feelings, needs, and cares.
Of the sins of Pilate.
We too have sought to wash our hands of you, when we have ignored those in trouble and crying for help.
Of the sins of the high priests. Remind us, Lord, of the part we play every day in your crucifixion.
Never let us forget that we too have helped to drive those nails through your body.
Lord, lead us back daily to Calvary to see your broken body and to remember who put you there. May we realize that we stand always at the foot of your cross. Amen. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the first three verses of hymn 181, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord? And at the close of the singing of this hymn, we will remain standing, and hopefully everyone now has a nail here. If anyone, does everyone have one? Anyone not have one? And what we're going to do is we're going to come singly, and we're going to stand right down here, and we're going to gaze for a few moments on the cross. We know that Christ hung and suffered on that cross for the sins of the world, and we are the world. He did that for you and for I. And these nails are only really small symbols of the spikes that were actually driven through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And so we remember. We remember for a few moments that he is hanging there on that cross for our sins. So we stand, we sing verses 1 to 3 of 181, Were You There? And at the close of the hymn, we remain standing and we come down and we place our nail at the foot of the cross.
Oh, Thank you.
sure that you will all feel, as I do, that that was quite a poignant moment, a very, very meaningful moment. We are now to hear some very brief scripture readings, and there'll be a pause of silence between the readings. And during that pause, I want you to just think for a few moments on the words that have just been read to you.
They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise."
From Matthew 27. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor.
We remain seated as we sing the first two verses of hymn 175, Man of Sorrows.
Criminals were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
We remain seated, and we sing verses 3 and 4 of Man of Sorrows.
Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah! What a Savior! Lifted up was He to
When He had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Going to invite Kathy now to present for us special music. I know she's singing something different to that which we have in the bulletin. Perhaps you could, Kathy. Thank you.
Sometimes we make up our own minds, and then God has a different idea. So we're going to do "God So Loved the World." God so loved the world.
Thanks to Kathy for the presentation of that beautiful piece, God So Loved the World. And thanks to Peggy as well for playing. Thank you. You know, when you're thinking of going to the movies, one of the things that we always do is we look at the rating of the movie. You know, we see if it's a general or is it 18, or years ago they used to be X-rated. I'm only saying this because if any of the children need to go out, this is the time to go, because of the subject matter of what we're talking about here, and some of the images that will be on the screen are from the movie The Passion of the Christ, and they're a bit brutal, so I warn you in advance. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The cross. The cross, it struck fear into the hearts of the world. It was the brutal means by which Rome used to control the people. And according to Roman custom, the penalty of crucifixion was always preceded by scourging. And after this, what they called the preliminary punishment, the condemned person had to carry the cross to the place of execution. And in so doing, they were exposed to the jibes and to the insults of the people. On arrival at the place of execution, the prisoner, entirely naked, was bound to the cross with cords, then fastened with nails to the wood of the cross, and then it was hoisted in an upright position. Just prior to the hoisting of the cross, there was placed on the top of the cross a placard called a Titulus. And as the name suggests, it bears the title of this person. It bears the name of the condemned man and his sentence. And it was placed right there on the top of the cross. And all of these brutal and horrifying events were recorded by St. Mark with the simple words, "And they crucified him." It's kind of interesting that Jesus was responsible for the abolition of the cross as a means of capital punishment. In the 4th century, the Roman Emperor Constantine abolished the cross as a punishment, and he did this in honour and in memory of the Passion of the Christ. So as we draw close to the end of this week of Passion, it is well for us to reflect on the cross. Jesus' words were, "If any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me." Take up your cross and follow me, indicating that we all have a cross to bear. But which one? There were three crosses upon the hill of the skull called Golgotha. And the first cross, this represents rebellion. The purpose of crucifixion was a horrible death for those who were caught in rebellion against the state or against society. And the cost of that rebellion was this awful death. The thief on the first cross was an antisocial rebel. You know, we always say that a rebel has a cause, and this rebel's cause was himself. He was a common street criminal, and it was likely that no one was too sorry to see him go. But even in his death, he was rebellious. He joins with the enemies of Jesus in mocking the Lord. He scolds him with abusive language, and he shouts out, "If you are the Christ, if you are the Christ, then save yourself and save us." It was a mocking tone. He sought no mercy. And he died as an angry and a bitter man. And we too are rebels against God. We display our rebellion in sin. And for this, we also deserve this first cross. Dr. Norman Vincent Peale tells of a trip he once made to a Shinto worship service in Japan. Shinto, by the way, means the way of the gods. And an interpreter told him that in Shinto, they have no concept of sin as we Christians do. And Dr. Peale watched the ceremony, and he watched the Shinto priests as they were making a sweeping outward motion with their hands. And when he asked what they were doing, the interpreter told him that they were symbolically sweeping away the dust. And he said, "Well, what dust?" And he was told that this is the dust, the negative forces of the universe that hold us back from being the kind of people that we can be. And Dr. Peale said, "What you call dust, we call sin. What you call dust, we call sin." Sin leads people to rebel, even against salvation itself. There are times when even we feel that we do not need a Saviour, because we're doing quite well on our own. We can get by. We rebel against God's mercy. We do not at times recognize our sinful nature, and so we have no need to repent. And the tragedy of this first cross of rebellion is that the sinner is not only killed, but he also refuses the gift of eternal life that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone can offer. And so he chooses an eternity of hell. But of course, there's another cross on the other side of Jesus. And this one we can call the cross of repentance. This criminal was just as bad as the other. Yet, at this last hour, he gains repentance. He gains paradise. So what made the difference? And it was repentance. His genuine sorrow was evident when he confessed his rebellion. He said, "We are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve." And this is the beginning point of salvation. If we do not see ourselves as sinful people, if we cannot see the wrong that is within us, then we fail to see our need of a Saviour. And we can frequently ask the question, is repentance necessary? And the Lord Jesus Christ says it is. And he says it quite clearly many times, and none more so than in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. And he says, "Unless you repent, you too will perish." Unless you repent, you too will perish. Boy, that's clear. Couldn't put it more clearly than that. And repentance is simply admitting reality. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Repentance does not do away with the reality of sin. It doesn't do away with the memory or the consequences of sin. But it is turning away from a life which leads to death to that which leads to life. And so this criminal on this other cross, after quieting his fellow criminal, this repentant thief looks at Jesus and he asks for mercy. And he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replies in response to this cry for mercy, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Aren't these the words that you want to hear? "Today you will be with me in paradise." He asked Jesus for mercy. That's all it took. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repentance. And the third cross on that hill of Golgotha is that of Jesus. And the sign above Jesus says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And I think the interesting thing is that it is written in three languages. And these were the three languages of the whole of the known world: Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. And we know that it was intended as sarcasm. But the irony was that it was for the sins of the world, the whole world, that the Lord Jesus Christ hung there. Harry Emerson Fosdick tells the story of some years ago, a little church on the coast of England was destroyed by a hurricane. And the small congregation of that little church thought themselves unable to rebuild it. Then one day, a representative of the British Admiralty came to the minister to ask if they had any plans to reconstruct this church. And the clergyman explained that they were unable to because they lacked the funds. The man from the British Navy said, "If you do not intend to build the church, then we will. The cross on your spire is on all of our charts, and it's on all of our maps, and that cross is the landmark by which the ships of the seven seas steer their course." And what a great and true parable that is. Never more so than now, when the souls of men and women need the divine help. The stable, the strong, and the secure sustaining help of the cross of Jesus Christ the Saviour. Though the hurricane of hell brought the sins of the world down upon the body of Christ, crushing the life out of his limbs, his body, by the mighty power of God, was resurrected on Easter Day. Shouldn't have told you that. You'll not come on Sunday now. Three crosses upon a hill: the cross of rebellion, the cross of repentance, and the cross of redemption. And Jesus says, "You must take up your cross and follow me." Which of these three crosses is your cross? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is a great old hymn of faith, and we often have to wait for a funeral to come round to sing this hymn, but we sing it to the glory of God as we stand and sing to his glory. 186, The Old Rugged Cross. Again. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, you are invited to join us in our Easter celebration, and what a great day that is. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.
Amen.